Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Sure, Google Glass may seem like space-age technology, but that doesn't mean it's only for Star Trek fans. The innovative device is a pair of glasses with a small screen above the right lens that functions as an extension of a user's smartphone. Glass can be used for a variety of functions like taking pictures, shooting video, or replying to email, all with voice commands. Veterans United in Columbia is one of the advanced testers of Glass and recently held a product demo. KBIA's Anders Aarhus reports.
Google's newest gadget won't hit the market until sometime next year, but former TV anchor Sarah Hill is one of about 8,000 people who get to test out Glass before it's released to the public. She says the technology will revolutionize several fields.
Glass has a bright future for medicine. Doctors are using this for surgery. It has a bright future for journalism. Journalists, we at the Veterans United Network, are using it for storytelling and to give veterans virtual tours. And people are using it in education to show children a first-person perspective of an event.
Hill sees journalism in particular as a place where Glass will have a big impact.
Essentially, it is a broadcast tower for your face. So you're not just sending back or live tweeting still pictures of an event. You are walking through an event and having a living, breathing conversation with people as it happens.
Hill is testing Google Glass at her current job as chief storyteller for Veterans United. She says the live Google Hangout feature is an invaluable tool for showing war memorials like those in Washington, D.C. to veterans who can't travel.
I'm able to walk through it. I'm able to show them the bronze reliefs panels on the side. They're able to hear the rainbow pool and the sound that it makes from the fountain in the background. It's essentially taking veterans to a place where they might not otherwise be able to see.
Hill sends suggestions and critiques to Google as part of her role as a tester and says there are still improvements to be made. She says features like an external microphone, volume control, and improved battery life would all make Glass even better. Anders Aarhus, KBIA News.
Hog farmers across the Midwest are battling a new virus this summer. It's often fatal in very young piglets, and researchers are still trying to explain the outbreak, as Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports.
Since mid-May, when porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PEDV, was first identified in this country, it has spread quickly, turning up in 15 states. Over 215 pigs have been diagnosed. But Lisa Becton, a veterinarian with the National Pork Board, says it's not a new disease worldwide.
This virus was identified back in the 1970s in Europe, in the UK, and then it's been most recently identified in Asia, including China, Japan, Thailand.
How it came to this country is one of the questions researchers are trying to unravel. Becton adds that the disease only affects swine and that sick pigs aren't brought to processing plants. She says PEVD does not transmit to humans but is spread when pigs have contact with infected manure. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
Americans eat millions of pounds of fish and seafood, and government figures show that 80% of it is imported. But two cousins in Iowa are hoping to find a place in the market by investing in aquaculture in a part of the country where pork is king. Reporting for Harvest Public Media, Pat Blank has the story.
Jeff and Mark Nelson have raised corn and hogs for years, but they were looking to diversify their operation. Farm-raised fish in Iowa has been tried before, but with limited success. It involved outdoor ponds and mostly catfish. The Nelsons have moved their venture inside.
An old hog barn, which used to have 10 rooms, and we've gutted out all the rooms, so we basically have, it's basically a building with a 10-foot ceiling.
Jeff Nelson says after 3 years of research and traveling all over the country to see how others were doing it, they began raising hybrid striped bass in 18 10,000-gallon tanks on their farm just outside Blairsburg.
We start out with about 12,000 fish in a tank. Once they get so big, they're graded for size, plus the density in the tank. We want to keep the density down so there's plenty of room for them. And so they're graded twice, so by the time they're market ready, there's probably around 3,000 fish in the tank.
The fish are automatically fed a high-protein soy mixture between 6 and 10 times a day, which keeps the food from being wasted and keeps the buildup in the tanks to a minimum. And once they've reached the appropriate size, they're shipped to restaurants and a processor in Minnesota.
A lot of times if it's shipped to them from another location, 3 to 5 days is what they have to get it served. Whereas we've heard them say that 10 days after they've gotten our fish, it's still as fresh as the day they got it.
If you've ever had an aquarium, you know that keeping it clean can be a hassle. But in this case, the water is put through a recirculation process. Iowa State University aquaculture specialist Alan Petillo.
And we filter the solids waste out of the water and then run through a biological filter. And that changes all the toxic parts of the water into non-toxic components. And so we can continue to use that water over and over again. And then effluent water can then go out into the environment. It's much, much more dilute than any other style of livestock.
Petillo was one of the experts giving the Nelsons advice. Because the operation is the largest fish-for-food facility in the state, they've gotten a lot of attention. Petillo and others have written a few grants to help bolster the aquaculture industry in Iowa.
Our goal is to create a vertically integrated type cooperative system so that we can have a feed processor as well as a fish processor, and a lot of different fish farmers around the area.
That idea makes a lot of sense to Ray Hansen, who directs ISU's value-added agriculture program. He says last year's drought and this year's wet weather have many farmers looking for ways to diversify.
Certainly it's difficult and challenging to find, let alone afford, adding ground to increase your farming operation, and there's pretty significant expense in starting or operating a new livestock operation. So this is kind of an interesting and unique twist on how can you get involved or expand your farming operation with something that we're just not used to seeing in this area.
The Nelsons are still experimenting. They've installed a tank in another part of the barn and are attempting to raise shrimp. They still custom feed hogs in addition to growing corn and soybeans, but Jeff says he believes he's found the best part of doing chores on the fish farm.
One thing nice about coming in here, your clothes don't smell when you leave.
For Harvest Public Media, I'm Pat Blank.
That's all for Business Beat this week. Don't forget, you can find these stories on KBIA.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.